Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
If you would, take your New Testament, go to book number 2, also known as book number 39 of the Bible, Matthew, then you get to Mark. I want us to draw a thought, or a handful of thoughts, I should say, in the time allotted before us from the 5th chapter of the book of Mark. And I want to talk about faith, but specifically I want to talk about one man's faith, Jairus. I want to talk about his faith. But as we look at the book of Mark as a whole, it comes second in the New Testament. I find it interesting that Matthew, the tax collector, one of the 12, he wrote his gospel account of Jesus' life to a Jewish audience. And he, through his 28 wonderfully penned and inspired chapters, showed how Christ was the promised Messiah of the Old Testament, and showed how Christ was the one that the Jewish people both needed and should listen to. It may very well be argued that Matthew may be the most read book of the Bible because it comes first in the New Testament. Follow up with that with Mark. Mark is a shorter gospel. In fact, it is the shortest, just 16 chapters. And Mark wrote for the Romans, or a Greek or a Gentile audience. So the complete opposite of why Matthew wrote. Mark wrote almost as if his audience didn't really want to listen for very long. So where Matthew may spend a whole chapter, or Luke or John, Mark will just do it in a handful of verses. He just gets to the point and moves on. Who is Mark? John Mark, we can tell from the gospel accounts, was a follower of Christ. He actually fled, if it's the same man we think it is. There's an unnamed man in Mark's gospel account who fled naked from the scene of the crucifixion. And dear friends, if I was writing the story, and if I also fled naked, I probably wouldn't put my name in there as well. But historians think it was probably John Mark. We know he's a cousin of Barnabas, and he was also a traveling companion of Paul and Barnabas on missionary journey number 1. As we read Mark's account, I should say the key word is immediately, or anon, or straightway. 41 times those Greek words are translated, the words for those, for immediately, quickly. That is the key word in Mark. Mark is trying to get his story going. As we look at chapter 5, I do want to mention one other thing. Chapter 1, verse 1, Mark says, it's the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As Mark writes to an audience who doesn't care about the deity of Christ, Mark spends one verse proving to you what John spends 21 chapters. The Gospel of John is to prove the deity of Christ. Mark says, he's the Christ, the Son of the God, Son of the living God. I need to tell you more about what he did. And so we see a lot of the works of Christ are in Mark. Go with me to Mark chapter 5, if you will. Jairus' faith. We begin chapter 5. Jesus Christ goes into the country of the Gadarenes, and he is met with a man that is possessed with a spirit. In fact, many spirits, we can tell, dwelling in this man as Christ is now in Gentile territory. And they're tearing at this man. No one can keep him. No one can bind him up. And so Christ commands these demons in him, his name's Legion, to go into swine. There's about 2,000 swine that immediately, as the demons enter the swine, they run head first down into the water and they kill themselves. And I have read stories of archaeological excavations in the country of the Gadarenes. At the bottom of that lake, they found a whole lot of pig skeletons. I find that interesting. After Christ goes from there, notice verse 21. Jesus was passed over again by ship to the other side of the sea. Much people gathered unto him, and he was near the sea. We're going to be introduced now to a man, Jairus, I should say. And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. We are introduced, number 1, the faith of Jairus is expressed. When he hears that Jesus Christ of Nazareth has come into his region, he sees Jesus, notice verse 22, and when he sees him and approaches him, he falls on his feet. Now, the word is not translated there to worship, but the word for worship in Greek means to fall down before one in worship. So it's almost as if he bows down to worship, and he expresses his faith by asking Christ. Notice verse 23, he says, "Come, I have a little daughter." We're going to learn at the end of the story that she's 12 years old, and she is at the point of death. So he says, "Come, all you have to do," notice the faith he has, "put your hands on her and she will be healed." He's not asking for a big demonstration. He just wants a simple touch of the master's hand, if you will. So number one, Jairus' faith, it is expressed. But I want you to notice, secondly, dear friends, in verse 24, it's recognized. He expresses his faith, his belief in God, belief in Jesus. It's recognized. How do I know that? Verse 24, because Jesus goes with him. The Bible says, "And Jesus went with him, and many people followed him and thronged him." Now, the way that Mark records this by inspiration is just wonderful, in my opinion, because the story of Jairus pauses and we're introduced to another woman who has another issue. She has a flow of blood that has been bothering her for 12 years that she can't get it to stop. And as Jesus is walking, no doubt, to Jairus' house, all she does is reach out and touches the edge or the hem of his garment. And notice verse 29, straightway, there's your key word, her fountain of blood was dried up. Verse 30, notice Jesus immediately, key word, he knew that virtue went out, and he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are saying, "There's all these people, Jesus, what do you mean, who touched you?" But Jesus knew something happened. He praises her, says her faith has made her whole. And then we pick back up with Jairus. But I find it interesting that on the way to deal with Jairus' daughter, Christ is interrupted, if you will, with a woman who has had an issue of blood flow for the same length of time that Jairus' daughter has been alive. Both of them have been dealing with his daughter. She's been alive for 12 years, and she has had this medical issue for 12 years. Notice the power of Christ.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
What else about Jairus' faith? Verse 35, dear friends, it is tested. Notice here, while Jesus was yet speaking to that woman, there came a ruler, or from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain men which said, "Your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master anymore?" Maybe you think, well, if Jesus hadn't stopped with this woman, maybe he would have made it there in time. Isn't that what Mary and Martha said in John 11? When Lazarus was dead, they both said, "Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died." But I want you to notice Jesus has power, but this would have been very testing. This would want to try your test. Jesus stopped to help this woman. Really, she helped herself, and Christ commends her for it. And now his faith is tested. Look here in verse 36, number 4, with Jairus' faith, it is strengthened. As soon as is the same Greek word for immediately. Immediately, as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he turned to Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, and said, "Be not afraid, but only believe." So his faith is just tested. You came to seek this Jesus to heal your daughter, and now word has come she is dead. But Jesus says, "Don't worry. Do not be afraid, but believe." Now I want you to notice the rest of the chapter. Jairus' faith is strengthened. Notice, he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John. And he comes to the house of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, and he sees all the tumult and all the weeping and people wailing greatly. And when he was come in, he said, "Why do you make all this fuss or this ado and weep?" He says, "The damsel is not dead, but she's sleeping." And they laughed at Jesus to scorn. It is never wise to laugh at Christ. Christ in control of the situation, but they don't realize that. So he puts all these people out, only brings in Mrs. Jairus and Jairus into the room. And when they were there, he entered where they had laid the damsel, and he took her by the hand and said, Talitha kumai, which is interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway, there's your key word, the damsel arose and walked. And she was about the age of 12 years old. They were astonished with a great astonishment, and he charged them to straightly that no man should know it, also commanded something shall be eaten. She should eat, because spirits and dead people can't eat. So that would have been proof. She's up walking around, talking, eating. That's proof that she's been brought back from the dead. See, Jairus' faith is rewarded, dear friends, because Christ goes to his house and he says, daughter, arise, and she sits up. But notice, verse 42, when? Immediately. The healing of Christ was an immediate thing. What do we learn from Jairus? He had expressed his faith. He had recognized, his faith was recognized. Dear friends, his faith was tested. His faith was strengthened, and then his faith was rewarded. Now, you and I can't go and approach Jesus Christ out in the crowd and say, we need your help with this. But you and I can have the same amount of faith that Jairus did. Because we read about and we praise and we worship the same Jesus that Jairus went to go find. He has the same power today. He works through his word, and we know what a wonderful thing it is. He can bring us back to life from the deadness of sin, dear friends. But that's only if we become a Christian. By hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, remaining faithful to the very end. How's your faith? Could we call you a modern-day Jairus? Or I guess Mrs. Jairus, maybe if the case would fit you there. How is your faith?
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.
From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior. I'm Jeff Archie. In the book of Ruth, Boaz and Ruth is a beautiful love story. We know Ruth left her home country and family and desired to be with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Through returning with Naomi, she met Boaz while gleaning or gathering in his field. And Boaz was gracious to Ruth, and in turn, Ruth showed great kindness to him, whereas Boaz said in Ruth 2 and verse 12, "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Ruth expressed her trust in God. She relied upon God's protection. And although life had dealt her some challenges, she trusted in God, and again, what a love story. Trust in God's love story, dear friends, the Holy Bible. And watch what happens. Please visit us at internationalgospelhour.com. Thank you for taking 60 seconds for the Savior, and have a good day. From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior. I'm Jeff Archie. I recall a beautiful hymn that begins with the words, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. It's taken from Psalm 8, verse 1 and verse 9. This psalm expresses God's strength, his creation, the greatness of Christ in prophecy, and his dominion as Lord. Truly, those that follow the Christ may also embrace him as Lord and serve him. As Lord, we see him as the foundation, our salvation, and his domination, his dominion. When we think of Christ as Lord, let us think of his church that he promised in Matthew 16, 18, and that he purchased with his blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. Please visit us at internationalgospelhour.com. Thank you for taking 60 seconds for the Savior, and have a good day. From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior. I'm Jeff Archie. Let's turn the Bible back to Judges 13 and verse 18 and hear this promise. And the angel of the Lord said to him, Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? The angel of the Lord was speaking to the father of Samson. Samson's father, Manoah, inquired of the angel to know him in order to praise him. Older translations say his name was Secret, and later translations, Wonderful. In reading, well, there's no contradiction here. The birth of Samson and commands of preparation was indeed wonderful in that it shows God's great glory. The angel, in essence, said, Don't praise the messenger, but praise God who sends the message. So let us seek God's Word wherein we find His message to us. Please visit us at InternationalGospelHour.com. Thanks for taking 60 Seconds for the Savior. Have a good day.